This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, flagship show post Accrington Stanley, covering Ipswich Town for the last 1,000 years. David Diamond's here. He's just eaten a roast dinner. And to be fair, when we were talking about Dave behind his back before the call started, Joe Fez predicted he was eating a roast dinner. Dave, do you want to sort of talk about your roast dinner briefly?
Really, mate, just sort of fairly standard roast beef. Nice roast beef, nice gravy with roast beef, isn't it? I always think. Yeah. Good standard stuff. Roast potatoes, obviously Yorkshire's. Probably going to have a dessert afterwards, I would have thought now. Unless, no, I don't think Chase will bring it in now. So,
Dave, for the longest time, I unfairly mocked you on the pod for having more money than me and owning Diamond Towers. But I'm led to believe Joe Fares now has more property than all of us put together. Shall
Joe
we
Fares
now?
Always had more property than all of us put together. What the hell are you on about? There's nothing new there, is there? What have I missed?
Well, yeah, Joe Fares has got like a holiday home. In all.
Oh, see, now of course he is a man of Joe's always been a man of property. Yeah, nice one, Joe. Hope is it available to your fellow Blue Monday colleagues at preferential rates?
She's in charge.
We lost you there, Joe, but we were too busy mocking you. Anyway, Joe's got a nice holiday home, which
all of
the Blue Monday team are going to be using during peak season at discounted rates, yes?
Especially school holidays, I hope.
Yeah, we won't need it then, so that'll be fine. we'll just pay to go to Barbados instead of 20 grand ahead or something.
Yeah, watch England get beaten at cricket again.
Oh, there's a cricket reference, isn't it? David, you must have enjoyed this. Before we get on to transfer market stuff and Accrington Stanley, who are they, and Wimbledon and questions, Craig Finbo, did a great interview. If I just say all of them, I can't get in trouble. Well, I can. I will. He'll tell me off. Did a great interview with George Burley, Dave. Two parts. You can check that out on YouTube and on Acast and everywhere now. But the thing that struck me, Dave, a man kind of at peace. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we do interviews and people are still bubbling about things and regrets. And he was very...
No, I know. And I know Craig is obviously a long-standing colleague of ours, but it's one of the best. I think it's one of the best interviews I've seen for many, many a long years. Absolutely superb stuff. You know, he was just brilliant from start to finish, both in part one, talking about his playing career and then moving on to his management career. I think we said after we watched it last week, I think I watched it through again, that his passion and just everything for Ipswich Town just came through, didn't it? And, you know, he's obviously his admiration for Bobby Robson and everything, and his general upbringing at the club. I've just thought it was brilliant stuff, a real pleasure to listen and watch that. Superb. And I had the privilege to obviously watch him play live, and he was just an absolute outstanding player. Absolutely outstanding. And I still think to this day, had, I don't know, we had some butts and stuff like that, and we've been all through it for Ipswich over the years, and sliding doors moment and stuff. But if there was a negative sliding doors moment of that 80-81 season, it is the time when he obviously got his knee injury at Shrewsbury there back in, what, the cup fourth round, and missed the rest of the season. I think a fit Burley, got us all three, but I honestly think we'd perhaps won the league with a fit George Burley, with probably a fit George Burley and one or two other things going our way there.
Joe, I've always sort of contended with George Burley that if you would like doing Hall of Fame rankings, obviously most people have Kevin Beattie and then Bobby Robson at the top of the two lists, but in terms of combined, he takes some beating, doesn't he?
Yeah, and there's a on the billboards or whatever you call them, the sort of window transfers that they've put on the side of the Cobbold stand, it does say on there more involvements in games than any other person in Ipswich Town, with his 500 as player and 400 odd as manager, 900 odd games. And I'd say, just from my point of view watching it, obviously the management side is really interesting because it's an era I remember, and sort of I don't think he really minces his words about Matteo Cerini too much or the goalkeeper, as he was referred to. And but just more sort of the playing career sort of come down at 15. You're aware of these stories and, oh, they come in, make their debuts at 17. But you didn't. It's like he came in at 17 and almost from that debut was just the right back. If he was fit, played every single game until he left.
Yeah,
he left quite young, really, didn't he, as well? And then had a 200 odd games at Sunderland as well. Sort of a real sort of fit guy. And I knew he was good because when I've read when Kieran Dyer did the 1-11s in TWTD over lockdown, and every single person talking about Burley was just like, he is the modern fullback, the guy that could get up and down, so attacking, brilliant crosser of the ball and that. But you just, I say, you don't see huge highlights of those 80-81 teams. If you do, probably sort of a marauding fullback, you might spot them every now and again, but they're not the sort of key person that is pulled into every highlight, are they? So it's just, yeah, very, very interesting.
I think he was almost more marauding as such, probably prior to that, actually, you know, prior to the Dutchman coming in. He was perhaps more of a sort of a marauding fullback, I'd have said. But, you know, two key things. He got his chance because Colin Harper, who was, you know, Mills was playing right back, Harper would have played left back, got a terrible, terrible injury. It virtually ended his career in the infamous game at Lazio, the away game. And that's what gave Burley his chance at 17. Obviously, Robson thought it was right. And then, you know, as Joe said, to play all those games after that injury, because that was pioneer, as you said in his interview, that was a real pioneering bit of knee surgery that usually cruciate ligament back in those days, your career is over. So, real credit to his fitness and commitment and everything to not only play, what, four more seasons with Town, I think, and another certainly four or five with Sunderland after that. Fantastic.
And there's some interesting bits when he talked about sort of Bobby Robson and Mick Mills and how Mick Mills was just his standard setter on the pitch there. And I sort of made you think, I guess that's how he sort of envisages his relationship with Matt Holland as well, that Matt Holland was the guy
on the pitch
for him who effectively did what Mick Mills did for Bobby Robson, Mr. Consistent, Mr. Steady, sort of not the manager's son sort of thing, but very close to the management and the guy out there getting his message out there. But
and what was interesting, he clearly got good characters, you know, he was very, very aware of that, having good characters in the team, and he really dwelt a lot on Venus, didn't he, Vino, and obviously Magilton as well, and pretty much built the team around that.
Amazing stuff. So check that out. Craig's excellent interview with George Burley, two parts on YouTube and on Acast. And when you were talking, Dave, I was thinking, the person that gets credited as a marauding fullback from that era, right back, is Viv Anderson, isn't it? But Burley predates him by a few years as well. But anyway,
we could talk
for hours about that. But bit of news, actually. We'll do the Accrington game in a minute. Joe, Tyrese Simpson has been recalled from Swindon back across, and we'll be speculating as to why and what's going to happen. But just tell me your perception of what the sort of chain of events may be now, Simpson, Norwood, etc.
Well, I don't think anyone really knows at the moment. Yeah, Stuart Watson did a piece earlier today in the paper saying that James Norwood isn't going to be leaving the club in this transfer window. There's been interest from six or seven clubs, including Preston in the Championship, but he's not going to be going. So imagine Norwood's going to be staying. Obviously, Macaulay Bonn is definitely staying. Does it raise a question about Joe Piggott, who was sort of an unused sub yesterday while Caden Jackson, James Norwood got on ahead of him? Is Jackson, who's probably one that they would not mind getting out the door with his contract coming up, is something more imminently happen with him? Or is it just they want to have a look at Simpson and then they want to send him elsewhere in this division, either somewhere else in League One or to a different League Two side? I don't know. But it seemed, on the surface, it seems a strange one because the sort of loan spell is going perfectly, really, from our point of view, and that he's their only striker. He is playing week in, week out as their number nine. They're a progressive football inside, real good pass inside, to dominate the possession stats most weeks, and he's been a real positive spell there. I think it's Ben Garner, is it, who was previously at Bristol Rovers. But like I say, some of the football they've played, when you watch it, it's real neat stuff with him as the focal point of it. So we'll see what it does mean. But hopefully it doesn't mean that Tyrese isn't going to play many more games this season, because when you've gone there and played 30 games and we're only in January, you're doing well, aren't you? And scored 10 goals, scored again yesterday, and I don't know if probably McCurdy's their top scorer, but he'll be certainly one of their big goal threats. And you look back at, I think I spoke to a Swindon fan earlier today, and he said he's a bit inconsistent. Yeah, the slugs over there. But but he just said he's a bit inconsistent in some games, he's off it, but he's all-round games improved sort of immeasurably since the start of the season. Like I say, good goal yesterday, 25 yards out left foot, just curled it into the bottom corner. And the one sort of a couple of weeks ago, just the sheer strength and physicality of him just boshing off two defenders and then knocking it onto his right foot and just with his weaker foot, just smashing it into the top corner. And he is just an absolute specimen, isn't he? And might not be the quickest off the blocks, but once he gets going, he is unstoppable.
That was noshing with a B, Dave, not noshing with a...
I know exactly what it was. You know, but there's certainly... I know he's been playing at League Two, but, you know, having watched... obviously, he's a lot more experienced, but Bishop yesterday and the job he did for Accrington yesterday. You know, maybe McKenna sees something and he wants to have a look. Possibly, I think I've seen that on the forum, that perhaps there's another potential League One side wanting to take him. So perhaps he's going to have a look at him first and then let him go out again. But yeah, it's a kind of interesting one. And it really would indicate that someone's certainly going out the door, surely. Either Jackson or a Pigger or a Norwood.
It seems a relatively new thing now that the loan market is changing, isn't it? And teams are very, you know, if something goes well for half a season, they're very happy now to just recall, send them out somewhere else. And if they go up a higher level, and look at someone like Gallagher now in the Premier League, and then his step is going to be half a season Charlton, half a season Swansea, half a season Palace, or a whole season Palace, and that'll be Chelsea
West
next
Brom,
season.
Wasn't he last year as well? But
okay, I mean, good be, point. Yeah, sorry, yeah. West Brom. Yeah.
But, you'd be very disappointed if you're a Swindon fan.
Yeah, they've got a really small squad.
Never fall in love with a loanee, Dave.
But it's happened a lot this year, hasn't it? And when you look at, I know last year it happened a bit, like Newport. I think they had five players doing really well and it all just got called back in one day. Scott Twine amongst them. And it's making it
Norrington Davis from Luton out to Stoke. That really got the goat of all the Luton fans as well.
Yeah, and it's almost, I don't know, it's strange. And we're in the position on both sides of it, effectively, where Christian Walton, we'd agreed a season-long loan for him, but
that was going to be my next question. So parlay your answer into Christian Walton.
But Brighton had recalled him, effectively. They said, OK, no, you come back here and sit on the bench for us. We need a third-choice keeper in these COVID times. So get back here. And Macaulay Bonn, it sounds like we spent weeks and weeks having to negotiate just to keep him here. When you listen to his interview on the Friday night before the Bolton game last week, there was interest from higher levels. There's big money on the table.
Helpful four-game win streak for QPR at the right time for our sake, hasn't it?
But it sounded like they had better options for him. And I don't know, I personally, sort of being totally blunt, I don't particularly like it. And I don't particularly like what we've done to Swindon. I think they're sort of upheld their side of the bargain. But it's happening to us and it's football at the end of the day. But it does seem almost like these season-long loans, if they do have the break clause, something needs to be done a little bit. So it's a break clause on a certain date. You decide on that date whether they're going to go back or not, rather than just drag it out through the month. Because there was ones last year where... literally on transfer deadline day, players were just loans terminated, pulled back, and it leaves the receiving club in a tough position, but ultimately they at this point in the window, there's still a week or so left. Swindon obviously knew this clause existed, and they should have made other plans in case this clause was activated. In the same way that our recruitment team, you can't imagine all the eggs were in the Christian Walton basket. There was talks going on, I think it sounded like, with Nathan Bishop, so that if Walton didn't happen, we've got a backup. So, like I say, you know these clauses exist and you need to make sure that you're ahead of it. And I'm sure their recruitment team are, even if they are disappointed.
Dave?
Should have gone to Slough. it's an odd one, isn't it? I suppose he was out of... Joe's glass always makes me laugh. Sorry, Joe's
it's
glass.
Massive.
I'm not sure if it's...
Get on YouTube.
It's like a vase, isn't it?
That is a nine. Slug's glass, that, isn't it?
That is a massive...
If I'm drinking out of this, I've had too many beers on Saturday night and I need to keep the fluid levels up.
Beauty.
Just quickly, if you're watching mine says mummy.
A bit of an odd one, Walton. Obviously he was out of contract. I think Joe would pay some sort of, did I read tomorrow, a minimal fee for him, some small.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on the fee, but
no. I think we all agreed at the beginning of the window that he, perhaps out of him and Bon and anyone else coming in, he would have been our most important signing. So yeah, good to get him in the building, as Jim used to say.
And contrary to what we may hear from certain supporters of other clubs who may have previously employed our chief exec, I think it's another tick in the box. Those were the two that we wanted to stay. And
but it just seems wrong.
They will.
That the main business in the transfer window is is making sure you keep two players that you've got to the end of the season, apparently, anyway. So it's almost like...
No, I agree with you.
We're busy effectively in the market, just trying to keep the same squad that we've got.
Protecting your squad.
Well, we've already got deals agreed to the end of the season, so I don't know. It seems something needs to change, doesn't it?
I suppose the very harsh contrarian argument would be sign your players full time and don't rely on loanees. Would be people's comeback, wouldn't it?
Where does that leave us on loans now, John? Is that it? Are we up to the max now? Obviously, Barry's gone. Is that?
And Backinson's replaced him, hasn't
Backinson's
he? So we've still got
Bond.
Walter's not lonely anymore, so we've got Bond,
Selina.
Backinson, Selina and Coulson. So we do have room for
Coulson,
one more.
Of course, yeah. So we've got one more up our sleeve.
So Backinson was going to be my next question, Dave. Obviously, I've seen a fair bit of him playing for...
Yeah, I was going to bounce that off you because I hadn't seen him at all. So,
and to be fair, I know I've been jovial with the Bristol City fans. They were actually pretty good with their insight and pretty fair with their thoughts from my perspective. So, you know, the story with Bristol City is that they're in a bit of financial trouble now, and there was a bit of a reset a couple of years ago, and they were doing really, really well with their recruitment. And obviously, we know to our cost because of Webster. I don't know, people like Joe Bryan and Bobby Reed and Lloyd Kelly, who you picked out very quickly, Dave, sold for lots of money. I'm probably missing a few out there. But they started putting some youngsters in, and it was him and Antoine Semenyo that kind of came through and looked like the good youngsters. And he was one of those players where he would stand out in games because he's kind of, you know, quite sort of tall and rangy,
languid,
glides with the ball. But I think he was far more liked by Dean Holden than by good old Nige, who brought in some trusted lieutenants, Andy King and Matty James, who he'd worked with before, and then proceeded to put in new youngsters, which Joe will know about, Alex Scott and Tommy Conway, sorry to make this a Bristol City and Championship, and he kind of fell back. So to quote you, Dave, there's a player in there, but then obviously all the comments and the narrative has changed now in respects of his attitude. And I did hear from some Luton fans as well who said he got bombed out of Luton for ideas above his station. So there is a smell test thing there. And in answer to your next question, yes, he does sound very similar to Harper.
Yes, that was exactly where I was going with that. Yeah.
It's hard to know with regards to sort of the move, like how he's gone from he was a used sub last week at Fulham to now this week, Nigel Pearson's totally chucking him under the bus and sort of talking about his attitude. It's like, how was your stock falling that quickly in like in literally 4 days?
Yeah, I don't think he was probably responsible for any of the six last week, was he? Probably.
No.
Read between the lines. Is it more the player perhaps wanting, you know, reading between the lines, gone to Pearson, not demanding he's got to play, but having a go, asking why he's not playing and pushing himself forward?
Possibly. So, he started like a dozen games in the Championship this year, so he's not come here to sit on the bench, has he? So,
and also as far as we're concerned,
from what I hear, it's Gary Probert, the director of football, who's been the big one pushing this transfer. He was the one, so he's obviously worked with him for a number of years because he was sort of the head of academy and sort of all that at Bristol City. And he's the one that's wanted to transfer. But it does seem that when you look at some of the transfer business, you're bringing in a player and then you're straight away putting Idris El Mazzouni on the transfer list, who signed a new 3-year contract weeks ago, and Rakeem Harper, who signed a 3-year contract in the summer. And it's like, I don't know, it's a little bit muddled. I know there's a need for constant improvement and trying to keep things going, but we're going to end up at, potentially, like I say, if we, I know it's sort of going there, but if you get promoted, we're going to have a number of players that are earning big money with 2 years left on their contract that just aren't sort of anywhere near the first team.
White elephants.
And you're going to struggle to get them out on loan even because to get the majority of their wages paid, because we're probably paying a big money in League One. They're going to get more money if we go up to the Championship. And if they're not contributing to that, if you're looking at someone like Cameron Burgess, Rakeem Harper, players like that, what are they... Like Rakeem Harper was playing games in the Premier League last season. Now he can't even get in the squad for a League One team.
It's a weird one.
I don't know. There was always going to be some that fall by the wayside, but it's difficult when you've got these players on such long contracts falling by the wayside. It's wondering where they go from there.
And he hasn't been near this squad. I mean, I don't know when the last time he was in this squad.
They said the last league game he started was Bolton.
It was Bolton 5-2, wasn't it? Yeah,
it's the last league game he started.
September.
September, yeah.
Yeah, early September.
I don't think it'll be the last of transfer window as well. I suspect there may be something possibly more in, and then, like we've suggested with a couple of names, maybe loans and I don't know, maybe the odd permanent out. So
is there potential to bring back like Corian Darber? Because we are one short centre back and he's impressed at League Two at Salford.
He was on a bench yesterday, wasn't he?
He's coming back from a long term injury.
Oh, is he?
He started the last game, which they won, but was out. So I'd imagine they're managing back in as
Ben,
Luke
we
Chambers
with
and Miles Kenlock got on the score sheet.
Weren't we linked with a Preston? Was it Story? Preston.
It was a handful of clubs, but he's a Stockley went to Charlton. He's a big strapping centre back, isn't he, Story?
Yeah.
So I get confused. They signed Story and Stockley at the same time, and they're both big, and one's a striker and one's a centre half. But
we do feel one light at the back, don't we? Centre half wise, if we're playing three, when you've got Danasian, Wolfenden, and Edmondson, and then you've got Burgess, but behind that you haven't really got anyone, have you? So you've got Albie Armand, but he's still an under 18 effectively, and Elkin Baggett, I guess, who's an under 19 now, and then, but yeah, like I say, Corian Darber, maybe there's potential for him to come back if we aren't able to fill that gap with somebody.
This might be the way forward. I think the three of us have got so used to a kind of streamlined squad in the sort of Evans era for the majority of it. It might just be the way forward that it's a bit more revolving door type stuff now. But we will see anyway. We've done 20 minutes and we need to get on to the glorious win yesterday, of which both Dave and Joe were present, against Accrington, who have caused us bother on more than one occasion previously.
Not at Portman Road.
No, that is a fair point, Joe. Let me just bash through the Ipswich 11. One change, particularly in central midfield, that was sort of facilitated quite quickly before the game. But so Walton in goal, Danasian, Wolfenden, Edmondson, Vincent Young, Burns, Carroll in with Morsi, Selena, Bon and Chaplin. Dave, thoughts on that?
A little bit surprised when I first saw the team. What, Noah Luko, who has been pretty much outstanding, albeit perhaps not like the rest of the team, not quite so effective last week at Bolton. But then we should send our congratulations that she became a father on Friday, I believe. Yeah, so that's the reason he was out. But yeah, good to see Selena back in the starting lineup there. Obviously, a little bit of mishap during the warm up with Evans. I mean, did you see anything what happened there, Joe? You obviously were there.
No, I didn't see anything. I've read what McKenna said after the game.
He was knee deep in Black Forest Gatto and stuff, wasn't he, obviously.
But, they basically just said it was a groin injury. It didn't look too bad, but the sort of medical staff had advised him not to start, effectively. So
yeah, so a rare start, certainly in the league, for Tom Carroll.
Joe, thoughts?
I think it's a strange one, because if you look at that team on paper, you could make an argument that it's probably our most talented team that we could put out there, couldn't you? If we play that style, the three at the back obviously picks itself there. They've all played well all season. Well, Wolfenden, since he's come into the team, and the other two have played well all season. Burns has been brilliant. Vincent Young is a player that maybe hasn't played as well, but I think there's a big talent upgrade between Vincent Young and Penny, and it's sort of maybe harder playing on the wrong side. But midfield, Tom Carroll, with all those games in the Premier League behind him, Sam Morsey speaks for itself in there, doesn't it? And then Burson, Selena, Connor Chaplin, two players that have sort of been in and out of the team, but have sort of accumulated good numbers for time they've spent on the pitch, both in goals, assists, and that McCauley Bond's our best striker, isn't it? And I say, I know Sonny Aluko's played well, I know Lee Evans has done okay in there, but I say you could, if we rode that team, that 11, to the end of the season, I think you're not going to be far off, are you? Because there's some real quality in that team.
You know, I still prefer, perhaps we'll get to that, I still do prefer a left-footed, left-sided left back. But yeah, I mean, Vincent Young, I thought he played quite well yesterday. But yeah, you're right, Joe. I think talent-wise, it's, when you look at it, bloody hell, frightening.
Bench, Holly, Burgess, Edwards, Backinson in there, Pigger unused, Norwood and Jackson. Let's just go through the Accrington
I don't know where
team.
Flavke was, whether he had an injury, because we've recalled that Bert White from Gosport Borough.
Saw that.
And, and they said he was, that's because of Holy will be going out, but also that Bert White, they like a third keeper for the warm-ups, and he'll be sort of taking on that role. And he was doing that yesterday. So Bert White was there doing that role yesterday. So whether Flavke maybe has got COVID, again, we don't know any of that side, or whether he just had a minor knock, or whether he's maybe one that could be going out instead of Holy, I don't know. But again, I guess we'll find out in the next few weeks.
Stanley team then, seven in goal. Clark, Rich Bagielu.
Sounds like John Walk trying to pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly.
But he had trouble with that one.
And probably Dave's favourite named player in the world is Yeboa Amankwa, Pell, Butcher, Hamilton, McConville, Bishop, who's been an absolute bloody nuisance against us in
the
previous
Bishop
games. Bishop Mazarewa. Is that what you're going to say? You're really going to say that? O'Sullivan down the right-hand side. And bit of a lively start in this one, Joe. And we're going to go behind and One of them, their long throws. Just talk about the start of the game and the first goal, Joe.
Well, they just started really quickly, and they had, within, before even a minute was up, they had a corner after about 40 seconds, and then they had another one.
Did we kick off?
Not long after, and within 10, before they scored, I think they'd had four corners before they'd scored. It was we'd had one, just before they scored, we'd had one really nice bit of play, moving the ball really quickly around and getting up the pitch, but the goal's quite, it's just a long throw up into the box, and it ends up dropping to Pell, who just lays it off, and it's a really good finish from Hamilton. But I think it's Edmondson who's up against on the first header, who probably should do a bit better, and it's just a well taken goal, and you're 1-0 down, and it's like, cool, this is not going well so far. It was they were good. It was a good start from them.
Yeah, I think it was a really well taken goal. Lovely, good technique, left foot, kept it low. Yeah.
I agree with both. We often spend a long time looking for a mistake, but sometimes a throw-in lobbed in, quick layoff, they've pushed up, haven't they? I think it's Danasian comes out to make the block, and probably if he doesn't, I reckon Walton gets a better look at that. But it is right in the corner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dave, we're going to get back on terms pretty quickly and talk to me about this goal, but more pertinently about this assist.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, for once, it comes from, this used to be us, conceding from our attacking throw. It comes from their attacking throw.
And that's just after they've hit the bar as well, isn't it?
From yes. Point. Yeah.
Yes, it is, actually. Yeah, that's the hell of a save. I think he gets a touch on that, doesn't he? So
there's a deflection before the save as well, Dave.
It's a brilliant save, isn't it?
Outstanding save. And it's a poor throw because, you think set plays, they were, pretty much on them all through the games. You know, the long throw for the goal we just mentioned. And I think Edmondson, or maybe Wolfenden, I think, gets a first header. Chaplin just helps it on, and then it's just brilliant. Falls to Salina. That was interesting yesterday, at least. It was pleasing to see, which was a bugbear of mine, at least Salina was staying up for their attacking corners, which is
when Dave
which
says
always...
a bugbear, he literally is triggered every time in the state, physically like shaking and yelling. Every
I hate
time.
That. I hate that.
I get it the same. It's like when Connor Chaplin's back for a defensive corner. So why?
What's the point? And then they stand off him, so it gets to Salina just in our half. He's allowed to turn. I could control at first, but he's allowed to turn and then run. And it's an unbelievable run. I mean, see, I watched it again. I should have watched it again on Quest. I was watching it again just on my laptop. And you just make out Burns, sort of lung-busting run to get there. And it's just brilliant vision by Salina. And they let him turn and let him run, you know, which they didn't all game, to be fair, other than then. They let him run. It's the weight of the pass, and it's just defensive.
Well, Dave, I was going to can it just
doesn't
jump
he
in.
We need saw, to take a touch, does he?
He doesn't break strike. Go on, sorry,
Ben. Just jump in. We saw Rafinha do exactly the same thing for Harrison for Leeds, and they were cooing over that in the Premier League. It's virtually the same,
it's a thing of beauty.
Dave, just quickly, we're going to talk about Schürrhausery. Long throw in up the pitch. Why on earth doesn't, who was it? O'Sullivan foul Salina?
He was too busy probably shouting at the ref or something because that's all he did.
Honestly, mate.
Looking
right
on the floor, slapping the floor every time someone went down.
All through the first half when Salina, we'll get to the goal again, but all through the first half, Salina, you could see trying to make space for, to, you know, create shots on the edge of the box, and he got one away first half. And they were closing him down really, really well. There goes my light. They were closing him down really, really well, but... the pass is absolutely sensational. And Burns is a brilliant run. Doesn't have to break stride. Keeper comes out, maybe commits himself a bit, but it's a good finish. You know, he just first touch, he just lifts it over the keeper and in. It's a lovely, lovely goal.
Burns must have gone 75 yards there for that run.
He goes from almost the edge of his
our box to getting on the end of that, which is with one long straight run,
and it's good vision by Salina as well. You know, there's a lot of traffic in between there, and he just picks the perfect pass. I mean, just absolute quality. Yeah, good goal there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50% to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We'll talk about things more in general when we wrap up. But Joe, just talk to me about this second goal in the second half. I know Accrington actually had a couple of few chances as well, didn't they? But a quick free kick and Connor Chaplin's going to get the winner on 65.
Yeah, well, it's down the right-hand side and Sam Morsey's got into that position down the right-hand side a number of times, got ahead of the ball, done well, and he's fouled, but he quickly gets up and Danasian is really alert and just sort of said, look, take it quick, get it through to me. Accrington, the honest side that they were, as sort of claimed to be, even that they try and stop the free kick by being taken and they deflect the free
lowest
kick.
Lowest form of wit, Joe.
Yeah, and it should be, that would have been a yellow, well, I don't know with that ref yesterday, whether it would have been a yellow card, but should have been a yellow card. But Danasian just takes on with the ball, pulls it back to Chaplin and Chaplin sort of fronts up with a defender in front of him and really, really quick feet and goes on to what is his weaker foot, his right foot, but then just absolutely smashes a ball home right into the sort of past the keeper before he can really react. Brilliant, brilliant finish. It's really, really good from Chaplin. Really quick feet and just touch, bang, isn't it? And yeah. He goes and 2-1 up.
He hits it so early, he gets out of his feet, doesn't he? He makes the angle and I think the keeper's unsighted, which, you know, he's got no chance with it. It's a great, great finish, yeah.
There was no saving that one.
Nope.
There was no Yubara in that one either, was there? Dave, summings up then. Let me just give you the numbers real quick because obviously, sort of possession-wise, we're fairly dominant. But otherwise, look, Stanley 13 shots to 11, 4 apiece on target.
Corner, didn't we?
6 corners to 1, 1 big chance to 0 on the big chance counter. It's a fairly tight game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's there. I mean, people made a lot of them saying, you know, shithousery and stuff like that, and perhaps we'll get onto their chairman owner in a minute.
We'll do that in a minute. I'm eager to talk about that.
And they were. It was. We've seen a lot of teams come down like that this year, Joe, haven't we? You know, just it's called a shithouse. I don't know, but you know, breaking up play,
dark,
you know, diving, feigning injury. It's just, oh, come on, you know. I hate that. And the ref, to be fair, there's so much of it going on. I thought the ref actually did. Oh, it wasn't the worst. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, when we've seen a good ref this season, I don't think he was the worst, but it's so tough for them. Absolutely tough, especially when obviously linesmen never make a decision, do they, for Christ's sake? And I don't know if you watch it back first half, did Morsey get away with one? I mean, clearly they're out to wind up Morsey. You'd have thought that Coleman pre-match would have put Morsey's comments probably on the, well, didn't need on the dressing room wall
just
or something.
Remind us what Morsey's
I think it was after we lost there, wasn't it? Early season. I think you compare them to a non-league side and amateurs and non-league side, and I think I should have seen this. He said it even got to the point time wasting where the ball went out of play and one of their defenders booted it, you picked it up and booted it out of the ground. I'd have loved to have seen that, but obviously they played on that, and you could see they were sort of in his ear and niggling Morsey all game. And yeah, it's hard to see on the vid, isn't it? But does he throw a punt? I don't know, but perhaps it's 6-1. He's been caught, you know, prior to that. And I think he just sort of lashes out, but, you know, nothing's given. It's right in front of the fourth official and they never make a decision anyway, do they? But yeah, I just tried to break the play up at every single opportunity. And it backfired on them. But yeah, in the end, and again, it's a game, I've said this before, it's a game in previous seasons, a bit like the Wickham game, his first game, McKenna's first game, where we probably wouldn't have prevailed, wouldn't have come through and won it, you know, we'd have buckled under. But at least we have got some, you know, people like Morsey, some strong characters who will front up in this team.
Let me just say, just so we're not patronising these teams, I've been pretty much pitch level to see Coleman's Accrington and Ainsworth's Wickham before, and they do know what they're doing. And at times against Wickham, you're hemmed in for like 10 minutes in a row, like in your own third. And I remember sitting on halfway at Accrington the time we lost to them in the FA Cup. And you're like, the game is taking place 5 metres either side of halfway and you literally just can't get the ball. So they know exactly and they do it very well. Anyway, sorry, Joe.
They're good at what, just quickly, they're good at what they do. Sorry, I'm not being patronised to them. They're good at what they do.
Literally
for the first, as Joe said, for the first 15, 20 minutes, they were really good, really good. And, you know, that second goal, that deflection where Joe said, brilliant save from Walton, that goes in. Completely different game, I think, at 2-0. They're... but it was just following that, really. I think certainly as soon as we scored, they seem to resort to that for the rest of the most of the game, really.
Yeah, no, and also to sort of coin a former manager's terms, it really was Land of the Giants out there, wasn't it? Mm. They were absolutely massive from front to back. They must have had seven, eight players that were 6'3".
Do you remember Trevor Francis Birmingham side?
Well, I met them. Yeah,
they were massive.
And they work hard, but it's all percentages, isn't it? It's just getting the ball. All you can do is just get the ball in. They're getting the ball as high up the pitch as they can, and they do pick up a lot of second balls. They work really hard, and
that's a nice play.
I can't criticise how they play on the pitch.
No,
as in when the game's in progress, because I think what they do there is sort of playing to within their limitations. But it's the theatrical, the diving all game, the rolling around. Sort of O'Sullivan and Pell was the worst.
Pell
was absolute wanker out there.
He's only six foot five for Christ's sake. He used to play for
Colchester. I don't know whether he was on loan from the Zoo.
Blowing him,
but he was just. But I mean, you watch him, and it's just like I say in game they play to their strengths. So there's like I say it's longer balls. It's 50-50s. It's picking up second balls.
Get it up for Bishop. He's a right handful, Bishop.
And I thought Wolfen didn't handle Bishop really well yesterday.
I thought Wolfen was our man of the match. He was my man of the match. I mean, Selina put him to one side. Wolfen, and I thought, was brilliant yesterday. Best since he's been back, I thought.
But yeah, for me, and it's the same with Wickham as well. It's the way they surround the ref, the way every decision that O'Sullivan was just running after the ref all game. It's like how he didn't get booked. I thought it was disgraceful, his conduct. And I say, I don't have a lot of time for that sort of football. And I'm not talking about the actual football, the stuff that goes along with it. And same with Wickham. And I think maybe it's because as Ipswich fans, we'd never seen a team play like that. And I don't think we'd put up with it. Like, you look at the stick Mick McCarthy used to get for his style of football. And yeah, some of the football was more industrial and we were defensive. Yeah. But we were never a nasty side, were we? We're always an honest side. We were never a team that chased refs about, that got into their ears. And maybe to our detriment at times, we maybe needed to do a bit more of that. Yeah. But I just couldn't watch that style of football every week. I just think it's...
The worst I've seen, thinking back, was John Beck's Cambridge. They were by far... He used to have the pitch cut at different lengths and stuff like that.
Booth was a bit like that, wasn't it? At Watford and obviously sort of Wimbledon when they sort of came through the leagues. And
Crazy,
people talk about it like a romantic story. Same with Wickham. I was like, not for me. Not for me, Clive.
So, post-game, good old Andy Holt, who's... I sometimes think he does drunk tweet though, doesn't he? I think he's had a few beers and he starts with the tweeting. So Dave's already mentioned Sammy Morsy and his comments, and Andy Holt, who owns a football club, called Morsy a shithouse on the Twitter. Now, before I get your opinions on this, we do believe in freedom of speech, and we do believe that Andy Holt has the same freedom of speech as you or I do. We get that. We also get that his comment is probably factually correct, and we do all understand that, in isolation, Morsy is probably a shithouse, isn't he? But Holt has threatened now to quit Twitter over this. So what's your view on this then, Joe?
Well, I suppose he normally, when he makes comments, that a lot of the teams in League One don't have maybe the size of following that Ipswich do, and ultimately we are one of the bigger clubs in this league, and if you effectively come after our captain, you're going to get something back, really, aren't you? And I didn't see all that he got back. I'm sure it probably did cross the line at some point, but I think most of what he got back was deserved. I think you want to talk about that after the performance that they've put out there. When you employ players like Harry Pell and that John O'Sullivan, when you've got players like that on your books, you can't start preaching about other players being shithouses, because he's paying the wages of two of the biggest shithouses I've seen playing. And they're not even good footballers, though. But at least Sam Morsy's a decent footballer. They don't even deserve to be on the same pitch as him, let alone winding him up.
Good shithouses.
No, and even like that Hamilton, when
he's talking
about how he's an honest player and he wouldn't go down and try and get a player sent off. And it's like, well, if you've been punched, you've been punched. Like, it hurts, doesn't it? And he's still going to describe it as a shove/push. And it's like, well, sorry, shove/punch. And I don't know. Andy Holt can say what he wants to say, but ultimately he will. I'd imagine he'll be getting something from the FA about that, because
Joe, it's what Morsy, and that still comes from what Morsy said. You know, there was always going to be comeback there, and I honestly think we don't know at pitch level, but I bet sure their players are in Morsy's ear all game, giving it to him, especially when they went one nil up. You can imagine it, can't you? So Morsy, fair play, Morsy. Morsy gives it, Morsy takes it. Fair enough.
Yeah, but Andy, like I say, Andy Holt's got freedom of speech to say what he wants to do, but also freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom of consequences, does it?
Consequence. And
if you say something like that, you're going to get something back, and you're probably going to get in trouble from the FA.
Surprised me that he did flounce off. I thought he was a bit thicker skinned than that. But, and we'll all hold our hands up. I'm sure you two are both fans as well. I love Joe Garner. And I love Mauricio Tirico, and I think they would come in the very good players, but they would definitely come in the Schürrhouse bracket as well. Huge. So there we go. I'm sure we'll see Mr. Holt back. He's never away for long. And I'll repeat Joe's words. We agree with freedom of speech, but that does that does have a opposite reaction sometimes that you then invite with your comments. Let's just have a quick look at the league table, and then we'll get to some questions. So under Kieran McKenna now, I believe, has he had five games or has he had six?
Four.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Sunderland game's the draw there. Okay, so three wins in four for McKenna, so 9 points. In four games. Town in ninth, dare I do it, 8 points off the playoffs. And that defeat for Accrington leaves them 13th. In League One, it was a bad day for Wickham, actually, because the entire top three won. Wickham and MK both lost. A bit of a coupon buster for MK. They lost at home to Doncaster, who'd been terrible. But directly in front of Ipswich, and this is important because we play them, very soon, is Sheffield Wednesday now as well. So I suppose, Joe, looking at it, it's just keep
four are gone, aren't they?
And I'm now starting to think we might get three, four teams over 85 points, or certainly above that 80, and maybe, you know, pushing a bit on. They're all moving forward, looking at big totals potentially. But rather than looking at playoffs, Joe, I suppose you just look at Sheffield Wednesday, and there's the Wimbledon game, which we'll talk about in a bit. But you know, 9 points in four, that'll do you very much, won't it?
Yeah, and like I say, Tuesday's a big night in when you look at that top of the table, because we travel to AFC Wimbledon, Burton travelled to. MK Dons travelled to Burton, and Plymouth travelled to Fleetwood. So there's two of those teams above us have got a tough away game against teams probably in better form than they are at the moment. And if we win and those two don't, it's really game on, effectively, isn't it? And go to Hillsborough, try and pick up a point and sort of take that and move on from there. And it's just, it's looking like, if you can just put the table up again there, Ben, you've got effectively Oxford, MK Dons, Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday, probably Ipswich and Portsmouth. You've got those six teams fighting for two places. So we've just got to be better than four of them. And there's an 8-point gap at the moment, but we've still got to play MK Dons. We've still got to play Oxford. You just got to take care of your own business, don't you? And if we can keep getting 9 points from every four games, we'll be in the playoffs. Simply, obviously. It's not going to be quite that simple, but you've got to play to Wimbledon and win, don't you?
We've got to play both of those away, haven't we?
Mm. But Wimbledon's recent form, loss, draw. Well, we've got to go there and try and win that, don't we?
Dave, what's your views on how it's shaking out? And, I know we were always guilty of it and looking at
No, you're right. Top four are gone, and it is just those two places. Could have done with Sheffield Wednesday getting a late equaliser at Oxford yesterday. That'd been good. Just put a six back. But big games. Joe said imperative. Yeah. 3 points at Wimbledon takes you into Saturday, and a big, big game at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, if we can 4 points out of the next, if we can keep just some momentum, 4 points. I say take a win over Wimbledon and a point away at Sheffield Wednesday wouldn't be the end of the world, I don't think.
If you can go to two away games and pick up 4 points, you'd be delighted with that, and turn a three game week into 7 points, then you're tough. Because it also means if you've got 4 points from these two, you haven't lost to Sheffield Wednesday as well, which means that whatever happens, you've either not ceded any more ground, have you? So the worst thing, like I say, you go to Sheffield Wednesday and lose, and all of a sudden there's three teams that are 8 points ahead of us rather than just two. So and then you are looking for snookers, really, aren't you?
Snookers. Snooker loopy nuts are we. Let's do some questions. This is Alex, Dave. Surely Cook's results with these players versus McKenna's results indicate a smart decision to appoint McKenna and lays to rest the for good the idea Cook was worth persisting with. Possibly a bit too soon to get to that conclusion.
A little bit premature.
We're at a point in the season where a lot of these players have been at the club now for a while. But I think there's a point there, maybe not exactly that
there is.
bluntly posed by Alex.
I think Wimbledon, the Wimbledon game will tell us a bit, I think. Wimbledon away Tuesday night, you know, we got well turned over there, royally turned over there last season. Yeah, you win there, show a bit of character, front up and win there. And then, yeah, that will tell you a little bit more about him and the team, I think.
Joe, this is Paul. What's the answer to the left side question?
Well, we hope, I guess, that Hayden Coulson is the answer to the left side question. I don't know how far away he is from a return, but the fact his loan hasn't been ended must mean that it's not going to be ended this in January, because why? If we wanted him gone, we'd have cancelled it. And if they wanted him back, they'd have cancelled it by now. So I assume we're just waiting for him to come back. But I thought Vincent Young did well there. I thought he does a lot well from there. And a couple of times, sort of long runs in field and getting on the ball. And some of the sort of passing between Chaplin, Selena, Vincent Young and Carroll. I thought Carroll, after a slow start, really, really got things ticking over well yesterday. I've seen a little bit of criticism of his performance, but I do feel like maybe just in that chance where Butcher hit the bar, he was just really weak in the challenge, and I think that might have coloured some people's opinions. But you look to see how he used the ball and got us moving. And he's a player that McKenna's mentioned a few times, so I wonder whether he'll play a bigger part than we realise. But yeah, I think it's going to be Coulson, Penny and KVY. The answer's is in-house, and we just have to hope that it goes well.
Did I hear that last week or maybe about 10 days ago, he was saying of the two, there was Selena and obviously Coulson. He said Selena was a little bit further ahead than Coulson. Obviously, Selena played yesterday. So, maybe in the next week or so, we might make a couple of games. We may well see Coulson appear.
And the fact that Chris Wilder's literally brought in Neil Taylor when Wilder loves a wing back would suggest that the player is up for grabs at
surplus
some point.
To requirements.
Yes. One would presume. So David, let's get you find your question on here. This is Andrew. Dave, have we finally learned to win ugly? So often we would have drawn, lost that again with all getting ahead of ourselves into consideration.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said earlier, it's a game there we perhaps would have buckled under the, it wouldn't intimidation as such, but under those sort of facing those tactics. You've seen it before many, many times, certainly at Portman Road. So, yeah, it was good. I think we have got one or two, you know, mentioning Morsey and one or two others. We have got one or two stronger characters in the side. You know, well, I think we said last season, other than you look through the side last season by comparison, and other than Chambers, really, you look for leaders, you look for characters, and you really couldn't see much. Well, I think there's a few in this team. And, I think you can see the benefits of that now.
Joe, this is Pablo Canuga. How refreshing to hear a manager give a post-match interview without helpings of BS and cliche. He's probably right. Is that important to you, Joe?
It is to me, yeah. I like to hear an intelligent view of the game, and I don't see that. Like I say, it's not rocket science out there. I'm not saying we understand exactly what's going on, but some managers want to put this like cloak of invisibility over everything that goes on off the pitch and pretend that they're sort of doing something that is totally outside the wheel that no one could possibly understand or possibly think of themselves. But I'd imagine a lot more of it is more simple than most realise. And McKenna's happy to talk about it. He's happy to talk in detail. He's happy to talk about how they played, the bad start we made, how we came back from it. And I know they're actually quite refreshing to listen to. And I guess some people might, they might not like that side of it, or maybe not like it, but not be that interested in hearing the detail. But a lot of fans are interested. We're all interested in it. And it's nice to hear someone who's so assured in themselves and confident in their own abilities that they're willing to talk about it. I think that's definitely a generational thing, the sort of transparency and people needing to be clear and empowering people to understand decisions and telling them why you've made it. And our squad is so far reacting to it. You listen to what Connor Chaplin said previously. Luke Wolfenden had a good interview sort of across a few days last week that was released, talking about how he's just loving working for it. And there was sort of a, not a dig at Cook in there, but basically saying they understand it like me, how I want to play. They talk football. Everything is about football, doing stuff with the ball. And it's not just about sort of blood and thunder out there, because ultimately Wolfenden's quite a laid back guy, and whatever these guys are doing, Martin Pert and Kieran McKenna, they're definitely getting the best out of him so far. And I say Dave made him his man of the match yesterday. I think probably a toss up between him and Bertrand Salina. But I think I know George Edmondson's getting a lot of credit at the moment, but I think if you look at the last three games, I'd say Wolfenden's been our best defender in that back three by a decent distance. And they're not easy games. It's up against Verdane Oliver at Gillingham, up against Sam Vokes against Wickham, up against Colby Bishop yesterday. And he's winning his physical battles, and as well as being good on the ball, on the floor, and helping us get moving with it as well.
Just quickly, Joe, just I want to mention too, I know you mentioned him before, he talked up that Tommy Hughes, didn't he? He came back from injury and got a hat-trick last week, and Wolfenden made reference to it, didn't he, in his interview?
I hadn't seen that.
Oh, he did?
It, but yeah, that's good to see as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's quite
out for
well.
2 years.
He's quite well thought of, yeah.
Well, he's one that Kieran Dyer was always a big fan of, and I think the reason he got the extra year was because Kieran Dyer really pushed for him to get that. And like I say, you're not going to question Dyer's knowledge of these sort of players, are you? He knows what he's doing.
Dave, this is one from another Dave. I like that McKenna isn't wedded to one formation. We've seen a few variants. Don't talk to me about variants. Last few matches makes me think the players are being coached more effectively. Do you agree with that, Dave? I sound like David Brent. A more bespoke approach to each game.
Yeah, I think so. And there was really, certainly a change of formation yesterday. And they played with the same intensity. We've seen, each player knew their job, and it was fairly seamless, wasn't it, yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah, there's an interesting bit, just sort of picking up on that side, when sort of from McKenna's comments yesterday, I'll just quickly find it, talking about Backinson coming into the team. And he said, sorry, this is great podcasting here, but keep talking and I'll find it. Sorry, ask another question.
Dave, I was just going to go to the next question from you. This is from Rob. Could we make a Luco, Chaplin and Salina work with Bon? Although a lot of people are not happy with a 4-2-3-1, and I think that suggests going back to one, doesn't it? Or is that too unbalanced?
I think it does. I mean, you like to see that. Yeah, a Luco and Salina in the same team, will that happen? Not sure. Yeah, not sure about that. But yeah, it would certainly be. We certainly got the. That would certainly be entertaining. Good to see, but I'm not sure. Not sure that will happen.
Have you found your quote, Joe?
Yeah, so he's talking about Backinson making his debut from the bench. He sort of said, we weren't expecting to see him today. He trained with the squad yesterday, managed to be in and around the game prep as much as he could. He was at the training ground with the boys to keep them around it. He was in the meetings, in and around the dressing room. We wanted him to come down and be in and around the dressing room to get a feel for the boys. So thankfully, he was there when the injury came.
No, he stepped up.
So it's just interesting that there's game prep that's been going on all week for this game, and he's missed a lot of that, so they're just trying to bring him in at the end of it. And it does feel like everything is more organised, but we're now in a run now, aren't we? Tuesday, Saturday, and that's something McKenna's. We've got a big enough squad.
Why is he looking
that,
forward but, to it?
I think maybe it's a chance to be a bit smart, isn't it, with your squad, isn't it, to be able to
put it in,
utilise a big squad and have the fitter team, because I'd say the last 20 minutes, I thought it was Accrington that were blowing a bit yesterday rather than us, where earlier in the season, it's been us that's been struggling
at
the end of games. And
I think that's a good point. I thought we just looked generally fitter yesterday as well. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, everybody, as ever, for the questions. We'll have a little look at Wimbledon, but I just need to update because Richard sent me. This is ITFC women who won 5-2 against Keynsham. And a couple of our sponsored players, Abby Lafayette, did she score the opener? Did she set it up? Yeah, she scored.
Assist, I think.
Oh, yeah, an assist from the corner. And then a hat trick for Friends of Blue Monday. Now, sponsory, is that right word? Lucy O'Brien, who nearly got a fourth as well. If you want to get involved, and this has kind of just come out of nowhere. This is just how cool our subscribers are. There's the Friends of Blue Monday now. So if you want to get involved there, and it's very much appreciated from us and from the guys down doing the women's team.
I did bump into one of the Friends of Blue Monday in the pub last night, Chrissy Day, who I saw in there.
I know Chris very well.
Yeah. I was a few sheets to the wind at this point. So I can't remember whether I said I'd give him a shout out. So if I didn't, you can have one anyway. But yeah, no, I bumped into him and he's one of the Friends of Blue Monday. So that is another perk of being a Friends of Blue Monday. You might get to see me in the pub as well.
And I should say, Chris and I listened to Bat Out of Hell many, many times in the car as teenagers. So we'll give a shout out to the recently passed Meatloaf, which when you mentioned Chris's name, it's like one of the first things I think of. Right, let me just quickly get these fixtures up real quick. So, yeah, you've already mentioned them. Wimbledon away on Tuesday. Forget Sheffield Wednesday. What do you want to see at Wimbledon team-wise then, Dave?
More of the same, I think. I don't think there'll be too many changes there. It'd be very interesting to see if, Wimbledon, again, you expect another quite physical battle. It'll be interesting to see whether young Tyrese finds himself on the bench maybe on Tuesday. And who knows, you know, there may be some outs, some players going out tomorrow. Don't know. So yeah, I wouldn't have thought many changes. Maybe Luco. You think obviously Luco back in the squad, but I mean on the basis of yesterday, I'm not sure I changed too much really.
You gonna have Joe Piggott playing against his former team.
I think some point Bon is going to need a rest, isn't he? He's going to need a game out. Yeah. Maybe you see Norwood in and Bon out or something like that.
Yeah,
keep him fresh for the weekend. And because he had been sort of run hard the last few weeks, Bon, isn't he? Sort of his 90 minutes most weeks. He hasn't had a rest at any point in the season, has he, so far? So maybe he's one that goes from there. But this is when we've got to use our squad, don't we? But it's hard to make changes when you've won a tough game. But Sonia Luco, he didn't really deserve to be dropped. He wasn't dropped, obviously. If his wife wasn't in labour? You'd guess probably, because I think he's played well enough to keep in the team and that there. So, but I don't know. Personally, I really like the look of the 11 yesterday that we ended up with. I think it's a real talented team there. And if we could sort of play those again, I think Connor Chaplin and Bersan Celina, whilst Luco has been excellent, I think those two are better players than him. Sort of
Celina, and I thought Celina had his most overall effective game yesterday by far, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, you know, put the goal to one side, the ridiculous goal against Crewe. He was really good yesterday.
Got onto the ball a lot, didn't he?
Yeah,
he really kept us ticking.
And, you know, sometimes with him, sometimes I think he could be more selfish than he is sometimes, you know. You think, wow, you know, it was, I think, a couple of times second half where his shot was fairly obvious and he tries to play a sort of disguised pass and stuff like that. I honestly think he could be more selfish.
Especially when we've seen how he shoots from range as well in his previous spell.
It's the knock-on effect, though. If he's playing 10 and people are coming narrow to mark him and you're playing wing-backs and that
good
space
point.
Then
it's
opens
obvious,
up.
It's obvious
the
ball.
Knock-on effect, isn't it? Right, guys, thank you very, very much. That was the Blue Monday flagship show for Accrington Stanley. Please do get involved. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Obviously, you can listen on Acast. Watch on YouTube as well. Please do subscribe over at YouTube because our live stream shows, of which there may well be one this midweek, we'll see about everybody's availability. You can then get involved and set the agenda in the live chat on those shows. So do get involved over on social media. This will always be free. However, if you do want to support financially, you can via the Acast supporter facility. And we do have a little PayPal thing set up and you can go to our website, which is bluemondayitfc.co.uk. Final word from you, David.
Slugs. Yeah, just, Just quickly, ITFC Ladies got a very rare home midweek game this week at Felix Stowe on Wednesday. Yeah, it won't be Wednesday, it might be Tuesday. But yeah, Wednesday at home to Gillingham, on who I think are fourth, actually, although some points, obviously, below us. But yeah, that's Felix Stowe on Wednesday. So I think, yeah, I might well pop along there. It's always, yeah, it's quite good. I've been a couple of times so far. So yeah, I think I'll definitely pop along Wednesday.
Last word from you, Joe.
Just look forward to Wimbledon on Tuesday. Chance for a new ground, a few beers in London, and hopefully a nice train back. Nice, enjoyable train ride home with a few fellow town fans.
Beautiful. Right. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. And we will see you very soon.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.